Views expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors. It's time for The Edge Radio Broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging onto the Edge's website at theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now, here's your host for the Edge Radio Broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
So let's go to our newsmaker line.
Oh, this is Ronald Wyman.
Hey, good evening, Ronald Wyman. Welcome to the program. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you've been listening to the pre-show, but our inbox had a catastrophe. We had a deluge of questions, people anticipating your appearance on the program tonight. So we want to thank you so much for coming on.
You bet.
Well, you know, you're making some claims that others would immediately challenge you on, Ronald, as if you say that you are a direct and ordered prophet from God to the people. Is that your claim?
That's true.
And, of course, that is an amazing claim to make, and I've been reading your book. It's very, very interesting, and you obviously have some information in there that is very scholarly as far as end-time events. But, first of all, Ronald, can you tell us how or why you were chosen for this assignment?
You'd have to ask God that one. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. God, can we get God on the line in the third line?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
I could.
Okay. Well, obviously, you have a direct connection.
It's a matter that God just chooses whom he will at different times throughout history, and for whatever reasons, sometime I've been a minister in the Church of God, and about 7 years ago or whatever, here he began to work with me as a prophet, not just as a minister in the church. So those things are hard to explain to people, and there's really absolutely no proof of anything there whatsoever, just like back in the Old Testament or different times that prophets have come along. But the proof is coming. That's what the book was about.
Wow, the proof is coming, and you're not one who's saying the proof is coming in the year 2590. You're saying next year.
That's right.
And so I would say that if people are in the mode to prepare, that they better be preparing rather quickly. But I really don't know that there is a preparation, Ron, that can be made. Are you saying that a preparation, would you say it's a spiritual thing that people need to be preparing for? Or
well, it really is. That hits it on the nail on the head, because it is a matter of an age-old message that's gone out through time, and that is for man to repent, to turn to God, and turn to his way of life. And that's really the same thing now. It's just that now man has come to a point in time where his ability to govern himself has come to an end, and God is going to intervene and stop man's final war. And it's been coming for 6,000 years, but God has a plan, and this is that period of time. We just happen to live at the end of 6,000 years.
Okay. And, so is the end of 6,000 years actually the year 2008?
No, it isn't. There's some different timing here, and that's why people try to figure out different timings and so forth. A lot of people get upset and they say, well, you don't know the time of the hour, because that's what Jesus Christ said. And I understand where they're coming from, but the reality is we are now there, and God is now revealing it. God has always revealed things before he did it on the earth through the prophets, and that's why he has two for the end time here.
Okay. Well, I guess as a lot of our audience would know, the test of a prophet is that which he says comes to pass. Have you had any other prophecies that have come to pass, or is this your main prophecy and it will come to pass next year?
No, this is it. This is why the book was written in 2008. God's Final Witness is written for that very specific purpose because who are people going to believe? I mean, whenever anything happens on a major scale in the world, catastrophes of any kind, there are all kinds of religious people that come out of the woodwork and they start saying, God has told me this, God told me that, and that's why this is happening. And it's after the fact. That's why this is happening a year in advance, to let people know, so that when these things do begin to happen, who could write those things? Who could write them in such detail, and they come to pass like that, unless God was doing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that a lot of people have said that Katrina is evidence, and I think of certain end-time events, but I think what you just said is, well, and I would have to agree with you that that is an after-the-fact thing.
Exactly.
And the tsunami over there in Indonesia was the same thing, and probably earthquakes, and of course, we can all discuss the wars and rumors of wars. We've heard that for many years. But to close the end of the age so quickly doesn't seem like it gives many people enough time to prepare. But is there something that is an immediate thing that a person can do? Say, if they're on a totally wrong path, is there something immediately they can do to get onto the, I don't know whether there's, are you suggesting there's a way of escape or a way of protection? Is there something that they can immediately do to protect themselves?
No, if people really want help to go through a time of tribulation that's coming, a 3.5-year period before God intervenes, I mean, this is something that man has brought on himself. This is not something God is doing. This is something that man is doing to himself. God is allowing it. But this time, unlike past wars, unlike past things that have happened through history, this time God does intervene to stop it, because if he didn't, he says that man would annihilate himself. We have that kind of power in the world. We have that kind of nuclear capability mm-hmm. of destroying the earth several times over. And so the reality is, if people have a desire to live into a new age, this is not the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it, in the sense of man ruling himself. God is going to begin ruling the next 1,000 years. And that's the good news of the Bible. That's what's called the gospel, the good mm-hmm. news. People just don't understand what that means. But, if people want that, they're going to have to turn to God and ask God for help. And they're mm-hmm. going to have to start doing the things that they've been told through the ages to turn to his way of life. But most people don't really know what that is.
Okay, Ron, how is it? I don't recall reading, say, in the biblical text anyway, where man destroys himself. Is that something God told you personally, or is that something you know, you're just saying you know is possible?
No, it's exactly why technology has been withheld from man for nearly 6,000 years, because God has a plan of 7,000 years of man on earth, and he gave 6,000 to man to live his own way, have his own governments, his own religions, and so forth, to have his own choices and things, and the last 1,000 is God's time. And that just happens to be where we are in time. So, yes, it does bring it up to a point in time where it talks about, most people, when they use terms about the end of the age or the end of the world, they talk about Armageddon. Well, the reality is there is a battle that's going together in the area called Megiddo. It's going to be on a massive front. It's just not there. It's over 250 miles, I should say, area.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get it out.
Sure.
And, it's going to be a massive front in that sense of China and Russia, who are going to be allied together here toward the end, and also Europe, then, that come together to fight each other. And it is at that time that God says, that's when he intervenes. People misread what that is all about. They don't understand what that means. But basically what it is man's World War III that's coming, and the fact that no side would lose the war. In other words, they're not using massive nuclear weapons at that point in time, but the loser would. And that's the whole point. The loser at the very last moment, whether it be China and Russia or whether it be Europe, whoever came down to that point in time, they would start unleashing the nuclear weapons. And the reality is all life would be erased on the earth, because look at how many nuclear weapons are out there. We have enough to destroy the earth 40 times over.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes once.
Do you believe that Iran has nuclear capability?
Who knows? I doubt mm-hmm. if it even enters into the scheme of things the way things are going right now. But that's some of what's going to take place has mm-hmm. to do with nuclear weapons that have already been smuggled in, or they're getting ready to smuggle them in.
Okay. To clarify here, did you say that God will step in before man destroys himself?
Just at the very time, right down to the wire,
okay,
when man is ready. It is in that Valley of Megiddo in mm-hmm. that particular battle.
Is this before the launch of the loser launching the nuclear weapons, or after they launch the nuclear weapons?
Before they do it, because he will not allow it to take place.
So those nukes, the buttons will fail, the machines will fail. What do you think? Of course, you.
No, he'll just stop it. It talks about what he's going to do. He's going to destroy much of Asia, much of those areas that he says he's going to destroy those
without nukes.
The earth.
So those will be destroyed without nukes.
Exactly. But there will have been nuclear weapons mm-hmm. fired, and a lot of them go off in the world before this comes to pass. It's just that man isn't at the point where he's ready to unleash it all. So there's going to be a lot of nuclear war in the next 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
But not to a degree or a scale that it would erase all human life. It comes candidly very close to it. But if God didn't intervene at the very moment, there would be nothing left.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you say God will intervene, is he going to literally come down here, or is there going to be some mysterious as I alluded to earlier, mysterious failure of the weapons launch, angels coming out of the sky. What's happening?
Basically, what takes place toward the very end here, something that mankind hasn't understood, when Jesus Christ came at the very last day of his life into Jerusalem for that last day he was going to be here, the Passover, when he came into Jerusalem, they were actually putting palms and branches and so forth in front of him, crying out to, Hosanna, the King in the highest, the King, the descendant of David, because there was a prophecy throughout the Old Testament that the Jewish people had that they believed that there was going to come a Messiah, which is the same as the word for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And what they didn't understand was that, just like Jesus said, he said, when he was asked by Pilate, are you a king? And he said, my kingdom is not of this age. It was the age, a particular time frame. They didn't know that he was going to come and die and then return 2,000 years later at the end of 6,000 years to establish God's government, if you will, on the earth. He's literally coming back to rule on the earth for 1,000 years.
Okay. Ron, what have you determined to be an age or generation?
Well, those are two different things, different ages. Right. Depends on what you're referring to. Just like 6,000 years is an age, the last 2,000 years has been an age of unique because it's been the church on earth. We're coming up to another age of 1,000 years that will fulfill a 7,000-year plan completely that God has for mankind. So there are different things. It depends on your context of what you're referring to.
Okay. So the end of the age, are you saying that is an age of 6,000 years? Are you saying that's age of man?
Yeah, there's a plan that God has. It's actually established by the seven-day week. God gave mankind his cycle. Man's tried to change a lot of things. He changed the number of days in a month and so forth. One thing that's remained consistent through time has been the seven-day week, which has been unique. But God gave that example of something that was a part of an overall plan, seven-day week for a 7,000-year plan for mankind. The first 6 days God allotted to man, 6,000 years, to do his own thing, basically, to live his own life. But the seventh is the Sabbath. It's God's time. And it's time for God's rule. And that's where we are in time. We're just at the end of 6,000 years, the beginning of the last 1,000. In Revelation, it talks about Jesus Christ returning, and there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth. Mm-hmm. And that's what 1,000 years is talking about,
okay.
One that's coming here.
Well, let's go back to the establish some, hopefully we can establish some credibility here as to when you received these prophecies. Did you feel like you were, or for one, let's go a couple questions here. Were they all at once? And secondly, when any of that came to you, how did it come to you?
Well, it's like God has worked with the prophets all through time here. Basically, it's a progressive thing. It's just like Ezekiel or Isaiah and different things that are written. It's like you would begin if you were writing a book there, as was given to him. If you talk of Isaiah or Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, they were given things at different stages along the way as a whole. The only one that was unique in that respect was John when he wrote the book of Revelation. The things he was given happened rather rapidly, and he was to write down everything he saw. Mm-hmm. But others, through time, in older times like that, they literally were given things through inspiration. It's how God communicates with mankind. It's like on the day of Pentecost in 31 A.D., there were people there, Jewish people, who never really understood what they had read in the Old Testament. They had read a lot of the Old Testament. They were well-versed in it. But they never really understood what it was all about until God began to give them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit connects with, communicates with the mind of man. That's how God communicates. It's not by, he has sent people, angels and so forth, and he has communicated directly through, just like we are right now, voice. But God does it through the mind. It's a matter of the spirit. And
yeah,
so you read a lot of things that Paul was given, different ones were given, where it was given to the mind. And when it's there, it's just there. There's no way of explaining it.
Well, let me ask you about that. You mentioned number of prophets, and of course, John. And I think if one were to read the history of the events around their lives, there was always these tremendous spiritual happenings going on. Paul on the road to Damascus, John, didn't know whether he's in the heavens or not, and then all the prophets you had, people coming back from the dead and such. Have you had any of these sort of things happen to you, or is it just simply more or less?
No, and a lot of the prophets didn't have that. If you go through the minor prophets, if you go through some of the things of, whether it be Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, different ones like that, they didn't experience the same kind of things. That's why in Hebrews, God says he's worked in different ways in different times through the prophets and so forth. And so God doesn't work the same way with every individual. It's just like you were talking about having some kind of validity here or establishing something here that as a basis to begin to work with, if I'm understanding this correctly, in the sense of when these things begin to happen and how God communicated it. You know, when it really comes down to it, it really wouldn't matter. You know, I could, if it happened to me like it did to Moses, that a bush was burning, mm-hmm. who's going to believe mm-hmm. that? If I said that it was like John and I had various visions and so forth and God revealed things, or God himself came and communicated, who's going to believe mm-hmm. all that? Nobody's going to believe those things.
Yeah.
And so the reality is, that's why the book was given, so that people have the proof, so that when it starts coming to pass, just like you said, that is the proof of a prophet. If it doesn't come to pass this next year, starting mm-hmm. in April, then I'm nothing but a false prophet. Mm-hmm. If it does start happening, then people mm-hmm. are going to sober up quickly.
Not to belabor the point too much, but does not he confirm his word with signs and wonders, or he doesn't?
I'm sorry?
Does God confirm his prophecies with signs and wonders?
Well, if you understand what the signs and wonders are, yes, and that's exactly what's going to start taking place. If you read about what the two witnesses are going to do, the two prophets at the end time here for the last 3.5 years, they're going to be confirmed all right because they're going to say things and do things on a continuing basis. That job hasn't started yet. Things have been written about what's going to take place, but some of the things that are going to be stated and done by the two witnesses at the end time, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're also referred to as God's two prophets at the end time.
Has there been an external confirmation of the fact that you are God's chosen prophet?
External.
Has there been witnesses of some sort? Anything other than, say, your immediate circle or sphere that are?
Well, just people who believe when they hear it, just like in Pentecost 31 AD, when people heard certain things, they just knew it. That's the only thing, but who's going to believe that either? Mm-hmm. So the proof has to come when things begin to happen.
Well, a prophet really shouldn't worry about whether people believe it or not. Isn't that true?
Well, no, in beginning in April, it's important that people do believe it. That's why the book has been written, because people can be helped then. Right now, why should anybody believe anyone else? Why should I understand the people being skeptical? I'll tell you what. There are so many crackpots out there. There are so many weird things. You get on the Internet and you start doing searches.
Really?
You know, and you talk about the two witnesses and stuff. And I've had so many letters from the two witnesses. I've had hundreds of them because they want to get in contact with each other. It's a crazy world out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so nobody's going to believe anything until something begins to happen. And then they have proof. And then they can begin to act upon it. And the reality is people are going to want to act fast, because what we're talking about happening in this country and around the world is a horrendous thing. It really is.
Okay. All right. We're going to go right to some of the questions. We've got so many to deal with here. So this is from Christine. She wants to know, would it be safer in the end days inside the United States or outside the United States?
Well, that's a good question. I get a lot of questions from people, especially once I've read the book, because it's a very fearful thing when you read something and you begin to think, is this possible? And so people ask, what part of the world can I move to? And the reality is you can't go anywhere, because the whole world is going to be affected by the Third World War. No one escapes. We're all going to suffer one way or another at different parts. The reality is God is going to help deliver a lot of people through it all, but they're still going to have to experience a part of the war. War is not a pleasant thing. War is ugly, and especially a nuclear war. Mm-hmm. And some of the things are going to take place, the fallout, the things that happen in the atmosphere afterwards, nuclear winters. This is a horrible thing that's coming, and it's just a reality of life that we're going to have to learn to deal with. But the good news is, in one respect, is that we do know the exact timing. It's going to last only for 3.5 years, and that's in God's mercy. If it were to go on longer than that, man wouldn't survive, and as I mentioned earlier. So God is going to cut it short, and all along the way, we'll know, well, we only have 2 years left, or we have a year left, and it's going to cut short.
All right. We have this from Sharon. She says, Ron, I had a voice in the middle of the night come to me and warn me to get prepared for the destruction coming to America. And I asked a question about when this was to take place, and the voice replied, after the next president takes office. Then I asked the voice, what will happen? And the voice replied that there will be 3 destructions on America and that I must be prepared because time is running out. And I asked how and in what way, but there was no response given. The question they have is, do you see this happening in 2008 or 2009, and does it line up with what the voice told her?
Things do start in 2008. And let me interject something here. The reason there is such confusion in the world, a lot of the world doesn't believe a lot of what God says in Scripture concerning a spirit world. There is a spirit world out here. There's all kind of phenomena, all kind of things out here that are unexplained by people, and they don't know how to deal with it, how to explain it. And there are beings out here who are spirit beings. They're perverted. They're distorted. They're referred to as demons in the Bible, but there are millions of them. And they broadcast. They broadcast to the mind. We can understand that in this age because we grasp how radio works, TV works. There's a broadcast that goes through the air, and it's able to be received in the mind, and that's what they do. And they try to distort. They play games with people. They hate God's plan. And in some situations like that, they know what's coming. They know some of the timing of some things that are coming because they know where God's working and what God does. So they stir things up even more. How is it that, going back to the Mayans, and when you talk about some of the prophecies that they have, Nostradamus, different ones, they were not God's prophets. They were not God's people, but there are certain things there that have been projected forward. And the reason being is because they know that man has only been given 6,000 years, and they know exactly how long 6,000 years. There's a period of time of about 1 year. They're not certain about how to count, but that's why there are certain prophecies out here about 2012. The only thing is it'll be done by 2011. Mm-hmm. But they have knowledge. They have understanding of things. So sometimes they communicate to people. Sometimes people do hear voices, but it's not from God. Mm-hmm. It's demons.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people hearing voices, we had a person on a couple of weeks ago. It was Daniel the prophet, and I asked him, what about when God said, seal up the things in the book till the time of the end? Ron, do you believe that the things in the book of Daniel are now to be revealed, or was that already revealed at another time?
No, they are in the process of being revealed because they will not begin to be revealed until the end. And the same thing with the book of Revelation. A lot of people think because it contains the name of the book of Revelation that everybody should be able to read it and understand Revelation. That's not true. Just like the seals of Revelation, they were sealed up so that man could not understand. That's the whole point. They're sealed until Jesus Christ begins to unseal all of the seals there, and in his timing, then he begins to reveal and begins to give what is taking place. We are at a time at the end, getting near the end of the sixth seal. There have already been six seals opened up, and the world's ignorant of it. They don't know what's going on because they don't understand the church and God and things that have taken place. The seventh seal, they will know, though, because it begins with things that begin to be a matter of destruction in the United States. We are the first to begin to suffer.
All right. And for those of you who are just now joining the program, we are talking with Ron Wineland, who is the official prophet for God. And speaking of that, we have this question for you, Ron. Do you? And this is from no signature here. Do you believe that God only talks to you, or is he telling other people the same thing?
Well, I know that makes people upset, but no, God has not, there are two prophets at the end, that's it, final, period. Two witnesses at the end, that's final, period. There are some people in the church who understand and believe and know the things as well that are given to them, but as far as religions in the world, as far as different peoples, there's only one religion, and that's what really stirs up people and riles them up, and that's why there's so much confusion out here, is because every religion believes it's right. There are thousands and thousands of different religious beliefs. And even within traditional Christianity, there are thousands. And nobody agrees. And yet there's one God, there's one faith, one belief, one gospel, everything the Bible says. But how can that be true if there are two churches down the street and they both disagree with each other? God is not divided. God is not, his way is not confusing.
Yeah, and I would like to say on that wise, where's the love, man?
From
the two churches down the street. Where's the love? It's like they're battling for people to get in there, but I'm not sure if it's what reason that is, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion in the world, okay. And there's a lot of fighting that goes on in the world, and religion has done, and frankly, the cause of what's coming is the cause of religions in the world. Okay. Look at what's happening in the Middle East. Look what's taking. It is a clash of religious belief because people have they grow up in a certain kind of mentality, a certain kind of thinking that primarily is there because of a religious background, a certain thinking that is in the mind. That's why it's hard for us in the United States to understand what's taking place in much of the world in Iraq and Iran and the Middle East because we don't understand, we don't comprehend the world of Islam and how they think and how people think. And they have a lot stronger feelings about what they believe than what we reflect here in the United States and what supposedly we believe here.
Mm-hmm.
And it rules their life. It truly does. Very powerful.
Ronald, I heard over time that many Protestant churches overseas don't believe in a rapture pretty much like the United States churches do. Is that because many churches in the United States believe somehow they're getting a pass from any sort of tribulation?
Yeah.
Because they're Americans and they deserve it?
Well, there is a teaching out there, and it does come from a lot of the southern type of religious area of traditional Christianity. There are different categories of traditional mm-hmm. Christianity in the world, mm-hmm. but here in the United States, especially more in the South where this mostly has come from, there is the idea that everybody's going to be taken away, they're going to be up in heaven, you know, be careful, they have these signs on the car, be careful because if this car is unmanned...
Am I reading between the lines Southern Baptist?
Oh, there are several religious groups that do that. That's one of a few.
All right, let's go on some more questions there, Ron. We have this from Danny in North Carolina. Ronald, would you please reveal the time frame for the second coming, end time witness and the role he will be playing concerning the end time prophecy?
Good question. As I've mentioned in the book, but I was also mentioned in some of the interviews and so forth, to let people know that the two begin their job together as the two witnesses and the two end time prophets. Their work actually begins together when the seventh seal is opened, during the last 3.5 years. So that's when two are on the scene, two begin to do their work together, and it lasts all the way up till the time just before Jesus Christ returns, about 3.5 days before Christ returns.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have this from Matt. Dear Ron, why is having the Sabbath on the correct day so central to your teaching? Surely there are far more important issues God wants us to concentrate, such as love one another, than whether we go to church on Saturday or Sunday. What's your take on that, Ron?
Another good question. I mean, there's some good questions here. They don't understand that the Sabbath is a matter of love. People don't understand the Ten Commandments are a matter of love. God desires that man treat one another properly, basically from a motivation of love. Care and concern for your neighbor. Love your neighbor. But the first four commandments have to do with a relationship with God. And one of those, and one of the most important ones that have always been a test to mankind is, God says, are you going to obey me? I'm the one who created you. I'm the one that gave you life. Why are you arguing with the one who's created you, your maker? Why does the clay argue with the one who is molding and fashioning it? And yet that's the way man has been for 6,000 years. And one of the most basic things is from God is, if you want to have a relationship with me that's true and right, you're going to live a certain way. And basically the Sabbath is the one that man has resisted and fought against. He doesn't like it. And then the last six commandments are really about man's relationship with man. You know, not to murder, not to steal, not to kill, you know, not to lie, and on it goes. So you have different laws there that we basically can understand some of those. But people fight and resist the thing about the Sabbath. So of all things, if people want to have a right relationship with God, and they should want to do that one. That's a very basic one. It's God did it from the very beginning of creation week, in the sense when man was put on the earth. The earth was already here for millions of years. But on that particular week when he put man here, and animal life and plant life like we know it today, there was a process where God said in the first six, you know, certain things were done, but the seventh, he set aside. And that's a day that people are to have a relationship with him. So what has man done? They'll have worship on. Some religions have it on Monday, some have it on Friday, and most in traditional Christianity have it on Sunday. And all of it is in opposition to God. So if man wants to have a right relationship with God, as much as you do with your neighbor, you can't steal from your neighbor. You can't lie to your neighbor. You can't mm-hmm. commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. If you want to have a right relationship with God, you've got to keep the seventh day Sabbath.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
And your take on that is Saturday?
Oh, absolutely. It's the seventh day, yes.
Is any of these end-time events going to transpire on Saturday, or can we count that day as safe from not...
No, they're going to happen for 3.5 years, day after day after day.
Okay.
Man's doing it to himself. God doesn't intervene and force man to keep the Sabbath.
Is the proper observance of the Sabbath, will that lessen the effect on those believers or people who have to go through this?
People who turn to God and people who strive to live a right life before God, there are people God's going to bring through all this because of a relationship they have with him. Because the reality is no one can deliver themselves. You can't go anywhere in the world. You can't build a cave deep enough or a hole big enough and store it with enough food and everything else to protect yourself. It isn't going to work that way. Right. God has to deliver us.
Okay, that kind of goes with this question, or answers this question, which is to you from Joseph from California, who says, I presently live in Southern California, but I have a home in central Mexico that is 6,000 feet above sea level. Do you think that's a good place to take my family? If so, when should I leave?
It's the same thing. Everybody's going to suffer. There's going to be a nuclear war in South America. There's going to be nuclear war in North America. There's going to be nuclear war in Australia, in Asia, in Europe. No place escapes.
Hmm. And are you yourself, you're not making any plans to move anywhere?
Nope.
Okay. You know, some obviously have suggested leave the country. Others have said, you know, say go to Arkansas, to the Ozarks, suggesting that the Ozarks is some sort of a haven.
I'll tell you what, there will be some places that are a little bit better than others if you want to look at the scheme of things. I wouldn't want to be in Chicago and Los Angeles and New York.
Do you see, as a prophet, Ron, any part of the United States being flooded?
Oh, there are going to be every kind of natural calamity you can think of that takes place. Yes, there are going to be floods. There are going to be all kinds of things take place at the end time here.
All right, we have this, dear Pastor Wendland. Are you a pastor, by the way?
Yes, I am.
Okay. This person here, and I'll get the name here.
Right, I don't know by the title, however.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, some people call themselves pastors. Better watch it, because as far as I read, there's some woes that are directly referencing some of today's pastors, where it says, woe unto the pastors, you know, the sheep, you know. So if somebody's calling themselves a pastor, they better be on the up and up. This is from Eric. He says, Pastor Wayland, I have visited your website, and you are a wealth of knowledge. After listening to many of your interviews, I have received a lot of spiritual blessings and do believe that you may be a prophet and God's witnesses. However, there's a couple things I'd like for you to clear up. One, we'll just do one because we've got so many other questions. The thief on the cross, if there is no heaven, where did Jesus say the thief was going that day?
Good question. Some think that, this is again, traditional Christianity teaches us, that here the thief on the cross was told by Jesus Christ that when he made the comment to him that I will be with you in paradise, today I tell you will be in paradise. Anyway, people misconstrue how the scripture is stated, and it's like Jesus Christ is going to heaven, and the two that died beside him are going to go to heaven, and they're all going to be together in heaven on that day. Well, there's a problem with that, because Jesus Christ died for 3 days and three nights. He was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He didn't go to heaven. He was dead all over. And they don't understand what he was saying. He's letting them know, I tell you today, in other words, while we're right here, that I will see you. I will be with you in paradise. He's talking about a future time, a time of a resurrection, when everyone who is dead, who has died due time, is going to have the opportunity of life again. Most people don't understand that people don't go to heaven or hell. Nobody goes and is tortured for all eternity for doing bad. That would be a hideous, sick, perverted God that would do that. To torture, to get something out of seeing somebody tortured, that's insanity. God is not like that. So they take the term of eternal punishment and misconstrue it to being eternally punished. It doesn't say that in scriptures. The punishment of death for all eternity is never to be resurrected again. It's a final thing that happens to some who fully reject God. But that's in the future. But so are the resurrections of God. There are resurrections coming in time where mankind, it even talks about in Revelation, about the second death. How can you die twice if you haven't lived twice? And the reality is, at the end of 1,000 years, everybody who has ever lived and died during the first 6,000 years, except for the 144,000 who come back with Jesus Christ, or who come with Jesus Christ to a resurrected at that time, everybody else is going to be resurrected back to physical life again. And the man doesn't understand that. And that's when they're going to have the opportunity to see what God has done in 1,000 years compared to what man did in 6,000 years, and it's night and day. And it'll be easier for man then to receive the truth of God, and they won't resist and fight against it any longer.
Are you a pastor in the Church of God?
Yes, I am.
Did you not just say that there is no hell? I mean, is that what sect of Christianity teaches?
Traditional Christianity teaches that man goes to hell. Some in Judaism, when Jesus Christ came, believed in certain things of that nature. Hell in the Bible, when you read about it, there are two primary words that are translated hell into English in the Old Testament. So the Hebrew word is Sheol. In the New Testament, it's Hades. And basically, it just means a hole in the ground. And a lot of times the word Hades and Sheol simply meant a grave. It's where a man goes. We're made of the elements of the earth, the dust of the earth. And the reality is, if you go out and dig up something been out there for a time, that's exactly what's happened. They've gone right back to the elements, just like God said. They don't go off to heaven or hell. We don't have an immortal soul that lives on. That's a false teaching of, I'll be candid with you, it's a false teaching of the Catholic Church. Almost all of traditional Christianity has their beliefs from the Catholic Church. They aren't all on their own. They started some time later. They, just like the Lutheran Church, look in the 1500s. Different ones that have started in the last 100 years or the last 50 years. They don't have roots that go back to 31 A.D. when the church began. Most all have their roots in the Catholic Church.
Man, I should have had you just on a show about that, because I actually, from your writing, maybe I missed it somewhere in there, but I did not know that is such a controversial teaching right there, to part from hundreds of years and who knows how many messages have been taught on hell. It reminds me, though, it seems like I saw a television show the other day, a man by the name of Carlton Pearson, who lost his ministry because he was teaching that there is no hell. And I think Oral Roberts University, where he may have come from there, kicked him out or disowned him or something. So are you familiar with Carlton Pearson's teachings?
No, I'm not. But if anybody did stand up like that in the world of traditional Christianity, they would lose their jobs. There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
That goes against the heart and core of what they believe. And same thing going to heaven. Nobody goes to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only human being who has ever gone to heaven. That's what scriptures talk about. That's what it says in the book of Acts. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost.
Really? No heaven, no hell.
No heaven, no hell. Nobody goes there. Instead, God's coming here, but everybody wants to go up there. He's coming down here. Jesus Christ is coming here.
Well, I can imagine everybody wants to go up there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have this question from Joseph. He wants to know, Ronald, is reincarnation possible?
Nope.
Okay. So no reincarnation.
Resurrected back into a physical body to look like just like you were, except at a better, around the mid-30s, the height of your of what you look like, and if you had any problems, any health issues, any deformities, when you're resurrected the next time around into physical life, you're going to have a perfect body. But you're going to have the exact same mind you had when you died, and God puts it back into your body again. But in the meantime, you've just been dead and dead all over until the time for resurrection.
Really? All right. We have this question here, and this is from Alex. What are the main events we can expect in the next few years? But I guess that question really doesn't apply to tonight's conversation, because I guess we should say next year.
Next year, April of next year, things begin here in the United
States. Why April? What's going on with the month of April?
It's just the timing of when it starts.
That's what God told you?
Yes, it's a matter of a timing, because by 2011, by the fall of 2011, that's when Jesus Christ returns, and it's all over with by that time.
Is there any reason, anyone who has finances, is there anything people should do financially to prepare for April?
Well, a little bit after April, some point, God hasn't revealed exactly when, but at some point here, the dollar bill isn't going to be worth anything, so it really won't matter. Every 401k, every stock market, everything that's invested out there is not going to be worth nearly squat after a while. That's why the euro, actually, prophecies of what is taking place in Europe right now is all prophetic. The euro is prophetic. Europe coming together is prophetic. One last revival of the Roman Empire. It's what it's about. The Holy Roman Empire, one last time. And it's going to be revived one last time. That's what God says. It's the seventh time coming up here. The sixth time was when Hitler and Mussolini had power in Europe. There's going to be one more great world war, and quite candidly, the ones who begin it and the ones who conquer the U.S., as incredible as this is, will be Europe once more. Mm-hmm. This time they succeed.
Okay, we have this question here for you. Are there any prophecies from Nostradamus that match yours?
No.
Do you think he was a fraud?
The only thing that comes close is that some say, and again, things are interpretation. Look how people have interpreted the Bible and all the religions we have. Well, there are a lot of people who interpret what he's written, too, and come up with all kinds of things. So, you know, there's really nothing that agrees as a whole, because the source for Nostradamus was a demon world. It wasn't God.
Really?
Yes, and so they have knowledge. They know. When you get these people on TV, sometimes they have these, they can tell people about things in their family. They can do it because they are channeling. They literally have the demons that are communicating to their mind, and they give them revelation and knowledge and understanding about certain things, about people's families and so forth, and because they know what happened in the past. They were around. They were here. And so all they do is communicate with each other what happened to so-and-so, and they communicate that, and they give it to the individual who's doing this on TV. And so people are in awe of this, and they don't realize they're fooling around with demons. That's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Is there any lesser, and I want to use the word tribulation for lack of a better word, I guess however one would respond to the things that are coming on the earth, is anything lessened if they, and I know that some portion of our audience must believe that there is a hell, a literal hell, and a literal, what do they say, what you guys' is religious term, a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, if they believe, and maybe there's raptures, different raptures, pre, post, mid, two raptures, no rapture, is there any of that that is going to alter, say, a judgment on their life? whether they believe this way or that way. I mean, we talked about the Sabbath earlier, how you believe that.
The reality is all beliefs that people trust in are going to crumble because everything they believe, those who don't get to go on the rapture, the car that doesn't get to go down the earlier, the jet liner that's still flying because the pilot wasn't taken away because he believed in a rapture, it's just not going to happen. There is no such thing as a rapture. Nobody's going to get raptured away. Nobody's going up to heaven. And when that crumbles before you and here you are living through the very thing you thought you were going to be raptured away from, everything you've ever believed begins to crumble in front of you, and especially when they hear two things being said here on the earth of what I'm telling you tonight, quite candidly, that's going to go out in greater power, and people are going to start learning, not true, and they're going to be able to start choosing, is this true what he's saying?
Dang it, Ron, I was halfway to heaven, man, until you come on the program tonight.
Yeah.
I better check my roadmap, man. We have this question from Simon. He says, Ron, since you do not believe in a literal Antichrist, but believe all those who oppose Christ are the Antichrist, but doesn't Revelation 13:16 speak of a singular beast that performs miracles and causes all to receive the mark in their hand or forehead?
Oh, my, people have misconstrued scriptures. There are scriptures that talk about a mark in the forehead and on the hand. People don't understand the mark of the beast. When it says mark of the beast, it doesn't say Antichrist. It says mark of the beast. Those are two different things. The word that's used by John in the book of John about Antichrist, and in 2 John as well, when the word Antichrist is used again, it's really speaking about people in the church who have turned against Christ, who knew the truth of God, who understood it, began to live it, and then they began to turn against it. It uses the term, there are many antichrists. Well, what traditional Christianity, some of them teach, is that there is a single individual called an antichrist who is this false prophet, this power that arises in Europe or wherever they think it's going to take place. And so they jumble all these different scriptures together. The one that talks about the mark on the hand and the mark in the head, that's prophetic language that is the difference between whether a person observes Sunday worship or Sabbath worship. Because the mark of the beast in Europe, it's going to be the Pope over the Catholic Church that has the power in Europe once again, just like he has several different times throughout history. The mark they have, the sign, which means sign, the sign that they have of who they are, basically is Sunday. They're the ones who turned Saturday worship to Sunday. They're the ones who turned Passover to Easter in 325 A.D. in the Council of Nicaea. They're the ones who began to teach a Trinity doctrine. They're the ones who have the Mass of Christ, Christmas. They're the ones who started all these things. It wasn't so before that. It wasn't so in the Church of God before that, and it still isn't in the Church of God. But anyway, the Catholic Church is the one who has religious power, so their sign and what they're going to start enforcing on people more and more is that you can't work on Sunday. That's their sign, and they're going to enforce that more and more. People have to work the other 6 days of the week. That's totally contrary to God. That's why it's the mark of the beast, the false prophet and the false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
God's way, his mark, his sign throughout Scripture, he's always said the sign of his people is that they will be keeping the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of the hand is there, that shows when you work and when you won't work. And what's the mark in the head is a matter of intellect. It's what you believe. Do you believe Sunday or do you believe Sabbath?
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what the ultimate juxtaposition area is. There are those that are emailing me saying you're in heresy and you're claiming to be a prophet of God. They could not be two more polar opposites than that right there.
Do you understand now why more and more, why God has to give protection for 3.5 years to two witnesses that nobody can kill them? Because literally there will be people out there who try to do so and they can't do it.
Are you going to be one of these people that people are going to make an attempt on your life?
I am one of the two witnesses, yes.
Who's the other one?
I can't tell until it starts in the seventh seal in April.
Is that person alive?
Yes.
Man or woman?
I know them.
Man or woman?
I can't tell anything about them.
Black or white?
They're not to be revealed until it starts, after it starts.
Jew or Christian? Jew or Christian?
It's a matter of someone in the Church of
Islam. God. Yeah. Whoa. In the Church of God?
Yes, I'm in the Church of God. The other person's in the Church of God.
Oh, well, no, that's kind of convenient, isn't it?
Well, it's how God works. He works in it's his church. It's called the Church of God. It's his church.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. Hey, I note that in your book you say that you're a witness to Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Why do you include Islam? What do they need to do?
Because, as I brought out in the book, they're also mentioned. It's a matter of the three basic major religions that have come from Abraham, the God of Abraham. They all claim the God of Abraham. They just don't obey him, and so they're all wrong. And so God is going to clean up all religion on the earth. And all three of those are going to be chastened for what they're doing, what they've been doing, because they haven't lived what they should be living.
Well, you know, some have emailed. There's a lot of emails coming in. And, of course, I could sum up a whole gaggle of them saying, you're going to burn, Ron. You're going to burn. But I don't think you can burn if you don't believe in hell.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I kind of like that. You are immune to the wow. You're immune to the powers of the force of hell. So, but now some people have said that hell is actually on the earth. What do you think about that premise? Maybe that's it.
Well, it's sort of not a pleasant thing here in some places on this earth. That's for sure.
Well, you know, I've mentioned talking about this rapture suggestion. The many people in the Katrina in New Orleans area who have been taught about a rapture before some massive event happens in their life that they will be taken out. They will go flying through the sky, but for many of them, it didn't happen. And even in this church where there's a big shoot-up of deaths over there in Colorado, those people were not raptured out, and there was murder in the church, which, by the way, I don't know how much is talked about, but the homosexual haggard guy was running that church, so maybe they got some residual demons running around there. But what do you think about all that, Ron?
About what happened out there, or
yeah.
You mean all these different events?
Well, yeah, different events happening, and the fact that, the basic thing is, what I'm saying is that people are not being taken out or protected from some of the cataclysmic events that's happening.
Well, I don't think that most of them even believe that's started yet as far as the being taken away. They really believe that once the tribulation starts, which will be massive things happening, not just certain areas, there'll be massive things happening, and they believe that when just as they start happening, that they are going to be whisked away for. And mm-hmm. I believe they teach 7 years.
Yeah.
They believe it's going to be the Great Tribulation
yeah.
for 7 years, but it's just not going to happen. So they're going to be very disillusioned when all their beliefs begin to shatter, because that's mm-hmm. a tough thing when you begin everything you've ever believed in begins to be proven wrong. That shakes people to the core of their mm-hmm. being, and that's exactly why God's going to allow it to happen, to shake people to the core of their being, to help humble mankind, so that mankind. Mm-hmm. is of a better spirit and a right mind to accept mm-hmm. the kingdom of God when it comes.
Hey, what do you think about the term? I think I just coined a term. What do you think about this? Residual demon presence. What do you think about that? Does that sound pretty good?
That's not too bad, because it's something I was going to comment on there when you were talking about what happened in Colorado. A lot of people don't realize, going back to this thing about demonism, they know that their end is about here, and they are very stirred up, and they're going to become a lot more stirred up. And that's, a lot of things are going to happen in the world, frankly, because of things, they're going to be given greater power, they're going to exercise more of that power, but it's not in a good way. But they are upset, they are stirred up, and they do have the ability to sway people and to cause a mind that may be confused mm-hmm. to become even more confused, yeah. to do horrifying things, and mm-hmm. such as kill people, such as take people's lives in horrifying ways,
mm-hmm.
Because they torment people, they work on people, and people yield to that, they listen to that, and a lot more of that kind of thing is going mm-hmm. to begin happening
yeah.
here. It's
yeah, I know, going back to that church again, they evidently have an armed guard presence there. Do you, y'all in the Church of God, you guys have armed guards too?
No. No.
No? Don't need them?
No.
Well, I guess of all the spiritual things going on, at least you do agree, I guess, with those that say there are demons, at least, eh?
Yes, they're real beings. They're active beings. They just don't realize how active they are. The world's kind of oblivious to it.
Hmm. Have you ever seen a demon?
No, actually, demons are spirit beings. The only thing that people can see sometimes are things they manifest. They have the ability to cause some things to materialize in the sense of playing around with certain elements in the atmosphere, or in other words, that's why people see certain visions in the sky, or they see this kind of murky, cloudy, maybe bright thing in front of them, human form or whatever, but it's not really full human, because they can't manifest themselves fully as a physical human being. They are not able to do it, so they do have the power to mess around with other things, things that people see. They are able to cause people to have visions, to see things, to have dreams. They play around with mankind. They like to torment mankind.
Yeah, but they mad, though, eh?
They what?
They mad. They be mad.
Yeah, they're quite bad. Yeah.
Mad and bad. All right. Okay, we have this question for you. When the mark of the beast is implemented, will there be people ordered to concentration camps?
No, things are not going to be like they were during World War II. A lot of people think that it's going to be that way. They think that they're going to be people sent off to be, you know, cooked in ovens again. That's not going to happen this time around. Actually, what Europe does this time, they're going to step in. There are going to be 10 nations that are prophesied out of the current European Union who actually come together, Germany the primary one, again. They're going to come together very quickly to do what they do when they retaliate or when they act upon certain things are taking place because of what's happening in the United States and our demise. They actually intervene and they actually conquer us militarily.
Mm-hmm.
And people like to argue about that. How can they do that? But the reality is they are going to do it. But this time, they're truly going to do it because they feel that someone has to step in and fill the gap of world leadership, because we're going to be brought down the tubes very quickly starting in April. There's going to be one thing happen after another. Four great things begin to happen here in this country and in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, western part of Europe, that bring these countries down. And look what Katrina did to us. I mean, that was small. That was one little area of the country. And look how much that devastated us. People try to get out of the hurricane, and people try to get out of Houston, and absolutely a nightmare. What happens when you have several cities that have nuclear weapons go off? We have no comprehension how we're going to deal. Look what happened with 9/11. Wall Street, you know, it shut it down. What happens when a nuclear weapon goes off in Chicago and in New York? What takes place? How do you recover from some of those things? The reality is this time we can't. And so Europe steps in because they have to fill a gap. But that's what they feel. They're not doing it like a Hitler. They're not doing it because they're evil. They're doing it because they genuinely feel like somebody has got to step in and stop this.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have this question from Dan. Wants to know, will the nuclear strike on the U.S. and the U.K. be in April the beginning of the opening of the seventh seal or sometime later?
No, all I'm saying right now is that there will be some nuclear weapons that go off as a part of these things that take place. From the time of April, it may start the very middle of April, but there are four things that are going to take place. God doesn't specify exactly which point, which time those things happen. That's something that will be revealed once they begin. That's something that the two witnesses will be directly involved in once it happens. But as it starts happening, that's when things are going to start taking place more. But right now, we just know it's coming, the timing it's coming, and so forth.
All right. This is from Ray in Montreal, Canada. Ron, how do your prophecies reconcile with the Mayan calendar doomsday set for December 21st, 2012?
I kind of basically mentioned that. The demonic world, Satan, knows exactly how long 6,000 years is since Adam and Eve were created. They know that they have only 6,000 years. Because, see, when Jesus Christ returns, every demon, Satan included, millions of demons that are here, they are going to be put away. They're not going to have the ability to influence man during the 1,000 years that follow. And so they know that their end is coming. And so that's why they're being stirred up more and more right now and doing more things right now, because they want to go down, fighting, mm-hmm. basically is what it is.
Yeah.
And so Mayan calendar, they're day late and dollar short because mm-hmm. it happens a year earlier.
Yeah, and so you're saying that is a misdirection there to get people to think that they've got till the year 2012.
Yeah, well, not only that, but there are demons out here, and Satan himself, that believe that they have it all figured out. They've always known better than God. So the reality is they do know that God is true to what he says, and when he says he gives man 6,000 years, there are just some things in there they don't understand what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. When you say that Jesus will come down and rule for 1,000 years, and I guess you're saying, will that start in the year 2008?
No, that won't start until 2011 when he returns.
Okay.
He's coming back this time as the Messiah. The Messiah means the anointed one, which was referring to the prophecies in the Old Testament about a king. The Christ means the same thing. It is about the Messiah who's coming to rule. It's about rulership.
Okay.
It says that this individual is going to sit on the throne of David. The throne of David, a lot of people don't realize it. God said that that throne would never die out. It's still here. It's in Great Britain.
Ron, would you say your prophecies are a result of your studies of the Bible, or do you have something that is extracurricular outside of the premise of the Bible?
Well, there are things that come through study, but I wouldn't know the truth if God didn't give it to me. He had to give it to me like he does to every human being.
Well, you know, there's a million people out there that can tell you. I mean, the Christian bookstores are filled with end-time books, and every one of them basically seems that they read the Bible, and that's their take on it. What differentiates your take on it from their take on it?
April 2008.
Okay. Hey, that does put you ahead of the crowd there, I got to admit. Hey, we have this. Let me ask you, though. Will millions of people die between 2008 and 2011?
Billions, not millions.
Billions, okay, with a B. All right. Those that remain in the year 2011 that are alive, will they live 1,000 years?
No, that isn't God's purpose. They're going to be able to live in a world that has one government and one church all over the world.
Jesus will let people die?
Yeah. Man has to learn by having a temper. He let Abraham die. He let Moses die. He let look at all the men of God. He let die. Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to be facetious, and I certainly don't want any lightning bolts coming down here in the studio. But I do got to ask these questions. Will there be sickness during that time, 1,000 years? Those the people that have lives that, under his command.
There will be some in the beginning, more than toward the end, obviously, because it takes time to reeducate man. It takes time to start doing things the proper way, just like in our foods. We are so sick in this country because of everything we do for the sake of a dollar. We'll pour all kinds of chemicals and stuff into food to make them last forever if we can, make a better dollar out of it.
Yeah, but are you mixing common sense with prophecies?
I guess.
I caught you, didn't I? Hey, we'll go on. Hey, what about this here, though? This kind of follow-up question. Ron, will you come on The Edge in December 2008 and explain why your prophecies have not been fulfilled?
Well, let's put it this way. If we come to a point in time where what I've said doesn't take place, the reality is I'm just a false prophet, because that's the bottom line. That's it. There'll be no other answer. I candidly say that. There would be absolutely no other answer. I know most religious people, what they do when they say a certain time, if you want to look at Ellen White, if you want to go back and look at different times of different people in history, people have made prophecies, religious people and so forth, and they haven't come to pass. Well, they give all these reasons why. Well, it's gonna happen 5 more years from now. God's led us to understand that. And so they go on from one point to another point to another point until they die. Mm-hmm. The reality is, if it doesn't happen, you're just false.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
There's nothing else to say. What else could I say if that came to pass that way?
Well, I mean, guess that's not something you'll have to work. I guess to reword that question is, will you come back on the program and so that the people who have been emailing into the show questions can applaud you for your accuracy? I think that'd probably be more to what you would want to return.
Will I come back as they begin to happen? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I think that question, from your standpoint, should be reworded rather than, will you come back and admit why you were wrong and it didn't happen, to,
well, let's put it
you come back and celebrate that you were right.
I'll go on any program.
Yeah, I'm looking at the positive, you know. I'm just
either way, I'll come on any program.
Okay,
I'll acknowledge my error, my wrong, if I'm wrong. Okay. I know I'm not wrong, but, you know, that's... This is not a small thing when God gives you something to do.
No.
Can you imagine Noah out there building an ark for 100 years and people coming by making fun of this great big wooden thing out here and mocking him on dry land? You know, at least you could put it by a body of water. It might do some good.
Okay. You know? Got you there. All right. We have this question. Dear Ron, I've read both of your books, and it's clear from the theology as well as your expounding on biblical accounts that you have gotten information from a supernatural source. Can you describe how that was communicated to you? Do you believe, Ron, I guess kind of adding to that, that your information is from a supernatural source? And I kind of asked this earlier, is it just your revelation of your mind, say, being open to what's already written? Or was there a supernatural source of such, or supernatural information that filled the gaps?
Nothing comes from me. If it's my ideas, my thoughts, just like anybody else, like you mentioned, those bookstores that have all that stuff written in there, you might as well say, I don't want to do that. Some people go out and do it. The books might as well be taken out in the street and put in a big fire. They're maybe give some heat to somebody. They're not good for anything. If it's not from God, what good is it? So same thing is true here. You know, when God inspires things, when he gives things, it's from him. It's not from human beings. I get to share it. I get to participate in it. You know, it doesn't matter who it was through time. Moses, David, different ones, that things were given to them, John, when it was given to them, Paul. You know, they got to share in a part of God's plan, which is an awesome thing. With that goes responsibility, too. But, you know, it's the way of life you live.
Okay, biblically, with some of the prophets, when people came against God's anointed, his prophets, bad things happened to them. Do you know of any events of people that have, say, called you a kook or a heretic or any other kind of name? Is anything that you're aware of that happened to them as a result of that?
No, but they will in the last 2.5 years. It doesn't matter what people say, but there will be some who try to put the two witnesses to death. God says they're going to die, the people who try to do that. They'll be taken care of. But as far as saying things, people are free to say things. God lets man mock him, make fun of him. It's just the reality is they're just not going to get to live through what's coming. They're gonna die and have to wait 1,000 years. And that's a very humbling thing when you've been dead for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever, how many years it's been, and all of a sudden you're resurrected, standing there all together, without any clothing on and you're nude and naked before everybody else, it has a humbling effect on you to let you know that you've been dead for so long and now you're standing before the God family. And what are you, you know, are you going to live the right way? Are you going to walk this way? Or, you know,
okay.
Anyway.
All right. This here is from Ian in Northern Ireland. Says, hello, Ron. The Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, has said in the latter days there would be a great deception. How do we know that your claim to be one of God's two end-time witnesses is just not another deception?
I guess they'll have to wait and see, because there's really no proof until 2008, is there, until April. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. after that period of time, then he'll have his mm-hmm. question answered.
And I tell you,
yes, and in the end time, there are prophecies about great deception, and the reality is, this world is at the ultimate of deception. All of traditional Christianity is wrong. Everything they teach is wrong. Everything about Judaism today is wrong. Jesus Christ already condemned it 2,000 years ago, and they've gone farther. They've gotten worse. So, yes, God's going to clean things up.
Mm-hmm. This is how to live question, so we'll go with that one to take a breather from the doom and gloom just ahead. Dear Ronald, first of all, thanks for the good news. So evidently some people are hearing some good news, even as we're making this discussion. But they said they need some advice. He lives with his girlfriend. He's not married, and they're committed and in love. Does God see this as a marriage if they can just commit to each other?
Well, you know, it's a very simple thing to go down to the courthouse and just sign on the dotted line. If it's legal in the land, it's legal before God. That's how God looks at it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through the formality. It's not a matter that you just agree with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter that it has to be a legal matter.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that it's all right that man should marry man?
No.
Is there anything special for those that are?
They're going to have to repent one day, just like adulterers. You know, there are some people that get so bent out of shape sometimes about someone of the same sex or whatever wanting to be married to each other, whether it be women or men. And, you know, that's wrong as much as adultery is wrong. And a lot of the people, ministers and stuff out here in this world, they've gotten caught in doing those things over and over and over again. Which is worse? There's no one that's worse than the other. They're both sin. They're both wrong. They both have to repent. It's worse, I think, when someone claims to be religious, doesn't it? You know?
Well, I think I've read a poll somewhere that said there's more adultery in the church than anywhere else. So I guess a little inbreeding going on there.
You know, that's exactly right. You know?
Okay. All right. Did I just say inbreeding? I'm sorry. All right. Let's go to the next question. And it's interesting that, you know, some of the questions come through and some of them are just that should not be read. I'm not going to read them. But when you're getting questions, have you ever been able to move somebody from their entrenched dogma with what you say?
I can't. That's not my job. God does it. And, you know, God is the one who works with people, who draws people, who helps to open the minds of people, begins to work with people. No human being can convince or convict anybody of what is true and what is, you know, in this world as far as God's way of life is concerned. It's something that God does. God, it's very clear in the scriptures, God does the calling. And when God does it, he just opens the mind. Now, people have to make choices once they have their mind open up. What are you going to do now with what you've been given? And that's the hard part sometimes, because the carnal mind, it says, is enmity with God. It resists God. It fights against God. And that's why Paul talked about, after being 25 years as an apostle of God, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" So even there, he goes on and explains there is this battle in the human mind. You latch on to, you want the truth, you want to live it, but you recognize that your nature resists God. And so there's that battle that always goes on, but it's always a matter of choices.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have this from Ron and Thad in Memphis, Tennessee. Ron, when these events start to unfold in February, and especially when things get hot and heavy in April, will God direct us and let us know how we as individuals can serve him?
I know where they're coming from. They've been listening to some of the things on the site there, I can tell, which is good. But basically, what people should do right now is to learn all that you can, try to understand, learn what's been placed before you, and then there's going to come a time when people are going to have the opportunity of sharing what they have with others. Because, candidly, when you see tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions die in this country around you, you're going to want to be able to give people help and answers if you have them, and you're going to want to share that with them. And that's what people are going to have the opportunity of doing at that time. It's not a matter of proselyting. It's just a matter of giving people encouragement and help to know this is happening now, but we don't have but so much time left, and Jesus Christ is returning. This is what it's all about. It's the end of an age.
Hmm. And of course, the kind of the follow-up thing there is, and we've discussed here on the program, that most people won't really move until something happens. So is there going to be a prelude to the April time frame?
There are things that have already been happening for several years now, but basically it hasn't been for the world as a whole. The primary things that are for the world, as far as mankind being able to see what's happening, having evidence, and being stirred to begin to change or begin to seek out answers, actually begins after April. Mm-hmm. There are some things that are going to increase and continue on here as we draw closer, but hey, April's not too far away. So
hey, you know, Ron, in the first hour, you were talking about, and you went down a litany of, and I don't know if I have the correct terminology, but the litany of belief systems or beliefs, dogma or rituals from the Catholic Church foisted on the Protestant Church, and I guess most of what they do is like that. And here in Indianapolis, another on the front page Friday was Catholic priests revealed molesting boys, and I think they just all might as well turn them all themselves in, okay? Because it just seems to me it's rampant, and I think there's some sort of underground there where they're communicating with each other how to do it and how to get away with it. And I mean, because it's not like it just happened isolated events. It's rampant throughout Catholicism.
Absolutely.
So there appears to me to be a bunch of child molesters running that whole religion. I don't see how anyone could look at that and then connect. And if they do the research, and our guest next week, Richard Reeves, is going to cooperate many of the things you said about those pagan infusions of theology into the Christian, to the Christian way, how anyone could not want to start to research what the basic tenets of the Christian principles have been based on the fact that it is proven and is documented historically that this stuff comes from the Catholic Church, and there's a bunch of pedophile child molesters running that thing. And you got this guy with a big pointy hat. He might as well be in the Ku Klux Klan sitting over there in the Pope. You know, who knows, little upside down cross and all that kind of shenanigans going on. But I'm just saying, shouldn't that be enough to get people inspired to check?
Well, I appreciate what's coming from you, because there's that which we get so agitated with, we see in the world. You think that would be enough to motivate people, but the reality is it doesn't. People still defend it. They defend their own.
How can they defend this where it specifically says, in the end times, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry and abstaining from meat. Both of those things are directly what the Catholic Church does. How can they not read that and see that?
Well, what they don't understand, too, and people get really upset with me sometimes, is get a lot of hate mail, too, but basically when I let them know, what are you upset about? Because it's usually people get upset about the matter of the Sabbath, and they don't realize that Sunday, they didn't come up with Sunday. They can't find it in the Bible. It came out of the Catholic Church. So every kind of doctrine you can think of out here in traditional Christianity, they really owe their allegiance to the Catholic Church. And even the Catholics acknowledge, their own encyclopedia acknowledges that the only authority for changing Sabbath, seventh day, to Sunday was done by the Pope, was done by the Catholic Church. And so they kind of mock those in traditional Christianity because it's done in such a way that they're letting them know that really your allegiance is to us, and yet you don't know it, you don't acknowledge it.
Well, I'm just saying, if there is something that is so obvious of being evil, that perhaps that should say, well, what else is there? Is there something else I'm doing, or something else I believe? You know, I'm just, the show program here is just really to get people to do their own research. You know, bring some different points of view and different things, and see which one adds up.
I'll interject something here, right quick.
All right.
It's amazing here that there are more Catholics being dealt with as far as being able to begin to change, because they are upset. There are a lot of them out there who are beginning to question various beliefs and so forth, because they realize that certain things are wrong, and so they're starting to search. And so the process has begun, and that's a part of the prophecy as well.
Yeah.
So the process has begun, and it just takes some time here. And frankly, things have to get a little worse. That's the way man is. Things have to get a little worse.
Well, the final thing I'll say on that is, you know, there's been over $1 billion payout for pedophiles in Catholic Church. I'm just wondering if the Catholics have figured out it's their money paying to cover up for these pedophilic acts. You know, I mean, huge, $750 million alone in one county, and I think it was Orange County. All right, well, let's go on then. We have this question here, Ron. Do you use the Hebrew name for Jesus the Messiah as Yeshua?
No, I understand. There are people who have a desire to, they understand certain things about the teachings of Messiah, that Judaism rejected Jesus Christ as being the Messiah. people get sometimes a little Twitter paid, a little upset about certain things having to do with that, which they go back to Hebrew. I don't know why they don't go to Greek, but they always like to go back to Hebrew, and somehow this sounds more religious to them. It sounds like it gives them greater credibility. The reality is, it doesn't matter what language it is. Every language has its own way of acknowledging who Jesus Christ is. Some people don't like to use O in God, you know, when they send me emails.
Right, I get those.
You know, and because they have this religious sense that somehow you can't do that. Well, it's communication, you know, and we do it in different languages. It's been that way for a long, long time. So, no, we don't use... I understand what the words are, just like Yahweh Elohim, as far as eternal God in the Old Testament, you know, and some of the words that are used back there. But you don't have to use those names to somehow sound or be religious. You know, people like to put on a show. That's a lot of what God condemns in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier, you know, about pastor and so forth. I said I don't use it as a title because here Jesus Christ came along and he said, don't call any man father, don't call any man reverend, don't call any man rabbi. And so what do people in religion, they want to have this title because it makes them have this sense of being religious and they want others to look up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's nothing more than vanity. People want to be looked up to as being, quote-unquote, religious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if this is supernatural or event or synchronicity here, but we have this from Ruth in Florida who said, Ron, I just received your book, 2008 God's Final Witness, in the mail this past Thursday. I opened up the envelope and looked at the book and set it on the table. But for some reason, the book kept popping up in my mind and like I was being drawn to it. I decided to pick up the book and look at it. I also took a look at the EdgeAM.com radio website that you mentioned in your book, and I found it interesting that just as I received your book, and then you just so happened to be on the program tonight. So they want to thank you for being on the program tonight, I suppose, and then kind of a follow-up question for you. So that was a comment, and the follow-up question is, will you be called to Jerusalem in 2008?
No, a lot of people get upset at me because, matter of fact, there's a thing here the other day, somebody was looking going through some of the different things that are to go on out here in chat rooms, and one of the comments came up about they saw my picture on the back of the book, and so they were serious. They have rejected me now as being one of the two witnesses because I wasn't dressed in sackcloth, so I couldn't be one of the two witnesses.
Yeah.
They don't understand that's spiritual for having to do with humility and God working with someone clothed spiritually in sackcloth, but they don't understand that. They're looking for something physical. And, you know, the same thing is true here about, you know, the other part of the question as well. Going to Jerusalem, there are some who think that the two witnesses have to be there for 3.5 years. That's not true, and that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they die in the streets of Jerusalem 3.5 days before Jesus Christ returns. So I know what my end is already. I know I'm going to die in the streets of Jerusalem 3.5 days before Jesus Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
So, again here, I don't have to be there until that day.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to get a message as to when to go, you think, or are you going to
I know exactly when that day is. I'll be in Jerusalem.
Okay, so but you really haven't said that anything supernatural is going to happen. So I couldn't suggest maybe that plane tickets would arrive in your mailbox from an unnamed source or something.
Yeah, I'll be
nothing like that's going
to
happen.
If I'm not able to travel there freely, some government will see that I get there because it's basically the government, a particular government that's upset at that time anyway that wants to come at me anyway.
If governments are intrinsically evil and ran by demons, which many people believe that they are, wouldn't they know who you are and wouldn't they want to do you harm?
Well, at the end time here, there is a certain government in the world, a certain church in the world that definitely does want to do me harm. Yes, they're the ones who succeed at the end. It's very clear in the book of Revelation who it is that killed the two witnesses. Yes.
Yeah, and what church is that?
Catholic Church.
This ain't nothing good coming out of them people over there. But no, I guess you should look at it like this. You know, it's not the Catholic people. It's the organization. Can I say
exactly.
that?
Exactly. It's not the people. People
okay.
are deceived. People
we
don't
love
understand.
The people there. Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
People, you know, basically, mankind has been given a nature that's capable of good and evil. And we see a lot of evil that man does on the earth. But there are a lot of people who try to do good things with what they understand. You know, they just don't understand yet. They don't understand the truth. When you grow up as a child in a certain belief, if you're Hindu, you know what? You're pretty much going to be Hindu at the end. If you're Catholic, you're pretty much going to be Catholic toward the end. Very few people on this earth really change. They're doing it more now because of technology from one thing to another. But, you know, through the ages, man has been basically whatever it was he learned as a child from his parents.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have this question here. And this is a person who specifically states they are not religious, but they want to know, Ronald, what do you think about the Quran? Is it from God?
No, it's not.
Who's it from? pointy-eared dude, red suit?
Well, you know, a lot of, just like you said, go down to the bookstores. A lot of people have written a lot of books. Who's it from? Whoever who writes. People write different things. You know, they come up with different ideas. The end of ideas out here, you know, it's endless. Man has written tons and tons and tons of ideas. That's the way of life.
You think if somebody bought one of Tim LaHaye's books, Left Behind series, that when if they are left behind, they should get their money back from him? That's my question right there, by the way.
Well, by the time that happens, if they get dollars, it's not going to mean much anyway, because that's going to be useless. So,
All right. Well, I guess his private jet won't be able to get him where he needs to go either.
By the way, I was going to say, too, I know you have it on your website, and I appreciate it. And by the way, I'd like to say I really appreciate the format of your program here. I've been on a lot of talk shows and so forth, and I think it's really commendable for you to use the kind of format you are where you don't have people actually call in, because this way you're able to screen, you're able to give good questions. You're able to pick through them, and I just want to commend you for that.
Hey, no problem. And that's the whole point is some of these questions are rather lengthy, and if people did call in, they could be we would actually hear less from you, our guest.
Exactly, my point.
Okay, all right. And now, so on that wise, Vicky wants to know: do you believe that fallen angels and UFOs have any correlation in this end time prophecy?
Yes, I do. Again, fallen. What the term is used is fallen angels, the angels that rebelled against God, that became known as demons, and Lucifer, who became known as Satan, they're on this earth. They have power, and some of those things have to do with quite candidly things about UFOs and things that people see. They do see something; they just don't realize it's not real. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that happen in this world, the paranormal, supernatural things that people think they see, and they can't explain the bright lights, the things going across the room, people appearing in front of them. There are things that happen like that, and they are from that world.
Are there, regarding UFOs, are those physical craft?
No, they're not physical.
Metaphysical?
There are things that people see. There are things that are actually in the sky that people have seen, literally. They have the power to do those kinds of things. It's not a big thing for them. It's just like when Moses, he came along and he started doing some of the first miracles. Well, they had some, Pharaoh had his there that were able to perform certain things too. It was demons that were accomplishing those things. It wasn't God. Mm-hmm. So they had certain things they could do, but then they were limited. And after a while, when Moses called upon certain plagues, they weren't able to copy them anymore. They're very limited, but they do have power above and beyond what we know as things in physical science. It's beyond science, physical, because it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the Book of Enoch?
I've never read it.
You've never read it? Okay. All right. We have.
I don't believe. I've been a little facetious there. There's no such book that's from God.
You say that it's not from God then?
No.
Okay. Wasn't that one of the books that was banned by Constantine?
I'll be honest with you. Caught me off guard here. I'd have to go back and read up on it. I really don't know.
Well,
I'm limited in my capacity.
Okay. Hey, that's all right. let's go to this then. And this is from Steve. How does the temple in Jerusalem fit into this end-time timeline?
Zilch, not a zero. The reason I'm saying that is because a lot of religious people out here believe that some of the things of the temple have to be rebuilt because the belief is that Jesus Christ is returning to a temple. They don't understand the temple he's returning to. It's not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. Just like when he said in 3 days that, you know, they mocked him when he was dying, and after he died, they made fun of what he said because they said, oh, the one who said in 3 days, you know, referring to the temple, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He was talking about his resurrection. He's talking about something not physical, about the literal temple that took years to build. That's why the Jews mocked and made fun of him. And the same thing is true at the end time. When he talked about Jesus Christ, when the disciples were walking around the temple, and they asked him, what are the signs of the end time, the end of the age? And he said, basically, he talked about the stones of the temple, that everyone would be cast down. But he wasn't talking about a physical temple. Again, it was about what was going to happen at the church at the end time. The church has gone through some traumatic things at the end time that never happened to it in the last 2,000 years. And the same thing is true about what happens in Jerusalem. There's always these stories out here of someone who's cut out this huge stone and they're trying to take it into Jerusalem and they're going to start the construction of the temple. Mm-hmm. Well, the day anybody ever tried to get close to that area of a mosque that's there, there would be a great war take place. The Muslim world would come together very quickly and there would be all-out war with anybody who got in their way.
Mm. So those people who are trying to clone a red heifer might as well just forget it?
Yep. You got it.
And then what about this abomination of desolation? What's that all about?
the abomination that makes desolate, again, there are people who think that what happened to Antiochus Epiphanes, there is that the type, when you talk about Daniel in the book of Revelation, there are some people who believe, you know, when Antiochus Epiphanes went into the temple and he spread, swine's blood, pig blood, you know, there couldn't be, when you talk about sacrifices and stuff in the temple, there were certain things that were to be sacrificed, and God is very specific about certain clean animals and how it was to be done. So to spread swine's blood, pig's blood, around the altar area and so forth, that was a hideous thing that was done in the sense of Judaism, in the sense of what was taught at that time, and obviously with the temple. And so some people try to make a parallel between that and what will happen at the end time, that there's going to be an abomination. So they think the temple, or at least the altar, has to be reconstructed there in Jerusalem so that they can have something like this take place again. They don't understand the abomination of desolation was something that happened to the church. It's already happened. It's one of the seals that's already open in the book of Revelation, but the world doesn't know where the church is, so they don't know what already happened.
I bet I can speculate who that big fat whore in Scarlet Beast is going to be. This from Ela in Florida, and I think you've already answered this question. The first part I'll go ahead and answer, but it says, do you believe in a rapture? And I think you gave a big fat a no.
You got it.
Is that right? A big fat a no. Yep. And then the second part of it is, the month of April 2008, doesn't that kick off with the Jewish feast, or how does that kick off with a Jewish feast day?
There's nothing Jewish about it. There is a commandment from God that has to do with keeping Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. It's annual holy days of God. They're God's holy days. They're not Jewish. They're supposed to obey them, just like all of mankind, but people don't. But anyway, it's the Passover period of the year, yes.
Okay. And I think you've answered this question. So you do or you don't believe in the Trinity?
That's a false teaching from the Catholic Church.
This whole thing is a big fat no, because it says a Trinity, eternal torment, and immortality of the soul is all no.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing how people can believe in a Trinity. They believe that there are three beings, and yet they're just one. And so Jesus Christ and this Holy Spirit is supposed to be a being. It's really just the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the power that comes from God. It's he does what he does by the power of his Holy Spirit. It's not a being. And so there's supposed to be these three, it's like the three musketeers or something, you know, they're all one, one for all, and it's a farce. There's no such thing. It's like saying that Jesus Christ has eternally existed. He hasn't. Only one has eternally existed, and that's God Almighty. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ didn't have his beginning until he was born of Mary.
Okay, this listener wants to know and wants to take you to task just a little bit on some minutia, and I guess it's to challenge how well you keep the Sabbath, because they're stating that the Sabbath law says you should not have fire, travel, or work, but if you drive your car, there's fire in the cylinders. If you cook food or you're heating your home, they all have fire. Are you violating the Sabbath when you take a drive?
He has a huge interpretation of his own there that why argue with it? He wouldn't believe what I had to say anyway. He's talking about the scriptures that talk about some things in the Old Testament as far as kindling a fire, and he has no understanding that that has to do with work. It's equated with work. It'd be like a blacksmith, the people that stroke a fire and so forth to get it so hot. That's a lot of work. It's not talking about cooking a meal or driving a car or anything of that nature. But you know, I can't help someone like that.
Okay. Is that looking too hard for a contradiction?
A contradiction.
I mean, is that someone just looking too hard to contradict what you're saying?
They just are very steeped in their own ideas, and people like that can't be helped. People who are so steeped in their own ideas, their own interpretations, you're not going to convince someone against their own will. Can't help them.
What do you think about tithing? I don't think we've mentioned that. Should people?
Yes, tithing is something commanded, just like the Sabbath. It's something God says in Malachi. Anybody, you know, people are actually robbing from Him if they don't give their tithe. Man,
God,
you know,
it?
Man was given the earth to live on, and God said, I require the tithe, and that basically.
Who are they supposed to tithe to?
In the beginning, it was given to the Levitical priesthood in order to do the job that was there for the time of the church and on through. It was given to the church in order to do the work of God for the church to the church.
Mm-hmm. Would that include keeping a building up and paying for pension and vacations and such and retirement?
I have no such thing as retirement. I already know what my retirement is. It's 3.5 days before Christ returns. But anyway, you know.
Well, for the rest of us.
Yes, I'm able to do what I'm able to do because of people who believe that and live by it. What we're able to do with the book, 2008 God's Final Witness, the thousands of books we're sending all over the world, 140 countries already, all the advertising we're doing on the internet in order to give it away free. Sometimes people condemn me and talk to me about all the money I'm making from the book. We don't make any money. We're giving it away free if they just read the website. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I know you have it on your site there, but if, you know, if people just go to End Time 2008, they can get a free book. We give them free anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, we're not trying to make money out of this. It's okay. A matter of trying to help people to prepare for what's coming.
All right. Chip from North Carolina says, the government has already built itself several underground facilities, and, of course, that's true. Everyone knows that. Will they find safety? Can they hide from the face of God?
Well, that's exactly what God says. They can't. So, you know, 3.5 years down there, time will tell, won't it?
Yeah. By the way, did I sound like a Baptist there? God? I mean, when you say
quite got it. Jerry.
Okay. I mean, there's a way. There's a way. I know you got
to
eat a whole lot.
That's right.
And oh boy, I don't know what's going on here. Okay, what about this here? Laura wants to know. The Bible teaches women to submit to their husbands. What should a wife who wishes to observe the Sabbath day as God commands do if her husband requires her to work on the Sabbath day?
God comes first. It's just the bottom line. You put God is first, and so you obey the Sabbath first. You know, all just like scriptures that talk about honor your father and mother. You know, you don't disobey God in order to honor your father and mother if they want you to come to church with them on Sunday or whatever, or keep Christmas with them. You know, God condemns those things. So basically, you obey God first. That's always the answer. And in doing so, you will honor your father and mother, because one day they'll come to understand what you did, that you did what was right in honoring them, because they raised a child that was going to be faithful to God first.
Mm-hmm. All right, Phil wants to know, Ron, as a prophet, how do you follow Jesus, our Father, prayer to hallow God's name, or in modern terms, sanctify or make his holy name?
Well, it's how you live your life. God is concerned with how you live your life. It's a matter of how you treat other people. It's a matter of how you have a relationship with God and with other people. It all boils down to how do you want to live life, and it has to be according to God's way, and that's how you, just like the Sabbath day, it says, sanctify, hallow the Sabbath day, sanctify mm-hmm. the Sabbath day. God already sanctified it. He set it apart. It's up to us then to choose to do the same. So if I set that day apart and don't work on that day, then I'm sanctifying, I'm setting mm-hmm. it apart, I'm hallowing the Sabbath day, just like God told
okay.
me to do.
Okay. So, Brad wants to know, will Jesus and the 144,000 return to the earth to rule as human or spirit? And I don't believe you mentioned the 144,000. Who are they?
They are people over the last 6,000 years that God has called and worked with through time. Many of them people know about already in the Old Testament. If you go back and look at various ones, the more familiar ones, obviously, Moses, David, the prophets, and so forth. People through time and through the church, especially in the last 2,000 years, more of them. A lot of people think that God has been desperately trying to save the earth. That's why people have, the term slips in my mind right now. People are trying to go out and proselyte, missionaries. Send missionaries around the world because they think they've got to go out and try to save mankind. That God's desperately, if he's trying to, he's doing a pretty bad job. God's not trying to save the world right now. They make God look feeble and weak. God is not weak and feeble. When he starts saving the world, man's going to know it, and that's what's getting ready to happen in about 3.5 years from now. But anyway, the point being here is that, as far as man, lost my train of thought there, I'm sorry.
Let me hit you with this one here. This is kind of fun here. I know that the Trinity Broadcasting Network, they propose that to fulfill Christ's commandment to go into all the earth, all they got to do is beam a television signal with your dollars, the viewers' dollars. Is that the same thing as did God say beam a television signal to people, or did he say go? Is there a difference?
Oh my! Again, that goes back to proselyting and things that people think they have to do. God has a plan for how he's going to save the world, and it's not up to man how he goes about it. If you're following God and doing what God does, you're going to be doing the right things at the right time. And mm-hmm. oh my, you're asking some huge questions here that would take a lot of time to go through and explain. We just don't have.
No, I was just wondering if Paul Crouch's ring could feed a lot of people down there in Africa. Hey, what about this though? I don't know if I finished this thought here. If we're talking about Brad's question. Will the 144,000?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Will they rule as human or spirit?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know I got off that tangent. It has been a long day. 144,000. They are the ones through time, through the last 6,000 years that God has been working with, that are going to be resurrected. Most of them are obviously dead right now because God has not been trying to save the world. There are only 144,000 that he's been working to save for the specific purpose of government. They've been trained, they've been worked with throughout their lifetime, so that when they are resurrected into the God family, the family of God, they're going to meet Jesus Christ when he returns. It says they're going to be resurrected. They're going to rise up to meet him. Even the two witnesses in the streets of Jerusalem, it says they're going to rise up to meet him when he comes. They're actually going to be, the bodies are going to be lying there for 3.5 days. There's going to be TV cameras on them, and they're going to be able to watch it. It says all over the world, basically. Man's going to be able to see the dead bodies. Mm-hmm. And so on that final day when Jesus Christ is returning, they are resurrected as well with the other who are dead as well. And there will be exactly 144,000 who come back with Jesus Christ and come back to the earth to rule the earth, and they will appear and manifest themselves as physical human beings, even though they are spirit beings.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have this. It's a two-part question. Pat Robertson said in 2007, God told him there would be great death and destruction from a terrorist attack in the U.S. in fall of 2007. Did God lie to him, or is he a false prophet? That's part one. Part two is, Pat Robertson backs a pro-abortion candidate for president.
I think he's been wrong a few times already before this, so I don't know why people are waiting until 2007 to make their choice on that one. So.
Well, what about that? Didn't Oral Roberts, he said that God told him that, that he's going to take him unless he gets several million dollars of the people's money, and then now here's his son in full-scale corruption, buying horse stables for his daughter, jetting around like rich
they're dude. False teachers. They're false teachers. That's all I can say. And they're teaching people wrong things, wrong principles that don't come from God, and so they reap what they sow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's see what we have here. We have some more questions. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Can Muslims be saved?
Everybody can be saved.
Mm-hmm. But you said God doesn't do it the conventional way? As we expect, like you're suggesting that people can't go out and save people, but God has a plan for each person that he does it without people?
In time here, God is going to start saving man. God has only been working to, if you want to call it save, 144,000 in the last 6,000 years. He has not been out here madly trying to save the world. The millions that are out here in traditional Christianity, 1.2 billion that are Catholic, 1 billion that are traditional Christianity, I hate to tell them, in one respect, because they don't like it, but God is not working with them yet. They are going to have those who live into a new age. God is going to begin working with every person around the earth that lives on into that 1,000 years. Every person from that point on, God is going to begin working to save. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, everyone who ever lived and died, as an example, those who died during this great tribulation, the billions, as I mentioned earlier, they're going to be resurrected at the end of 1,000 years and live in a physical body again, a second time. And that's when God is going to work to save them.
Hmm. And this writer wants to know, what do you see as a requirement for salvation? Be clear and to the point, please.
Obey God. Okay. It starts with the Sabbath day.
That's where it all starts?
That's where it starts, because if man isn't willing to obey God in the most basic command that he refers to as a sign, the test commandment, if you will, it shows a willingness of man to humble himself, to go against the mm-hmm. grain of the whole society, because that is not what society, traditional Christianity, teaches. They teach something different. So it's pretty hard for people out here, because employers get really nasty sometimes when you ask for the Sabbath off, and they don't want to give that to you. And the reality is then it means your job in many cases. I've known a lot of people who've lost their job because they want to obey God. But that's the choice. You obey God or you obey man.
Mm. All right. Do you know what God's real name is?
Well, there we go again.
And there's a lot of that too, because like you said earlier, though, that there are some that won't use the middle O, and then I know there's a controversy between Yahweh and how you spell that and such. And isn't that, as people are really trying to find their way around the religion that they've been taught,
They make their own so they can feel better about what they're believing now. They have a certain knowledge. They happen to know some Hebrew words. And so it's a matter of vanity again. It's not a matter of truth. It's not a matter of what God wants. God is not concerned with whether you can speak Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic and some of the scriptures that were written, in the Bible. It's how you live your life and, tell people like that, get a life. Mm-hmm. They're making mountains out of molehills.
Well, doesn't that also divide people back into camps? They're trying to get out of a camp that they're in to see the way, because there's got to be selection, or you know, the true believers, the true followers. There has to be them in all strata of the human element, you know, and they're trying to make their way back. But then they find out, they take a turn, and they end up into a camp where they're saying, "Well, we have the correct name." They're really just going right back into what they're trying to get out of doing that, don't they?
Oh, a lot of times, and that's the frustration of the religion of the world. God is allowed to exist, and people go from one to another, and never fully satisfied, and yet. But the bad thing about it is people do become very filled with pride about what they believe and what they understand, and they tear down and mock others of, and don't realize the very thing that they believe is just as bad as the other. The reality is there's only one thing that's really true out here. There's only one way of life that's true and genuine and right before God. And God hasn't given that to the world yet. He's getting ready to. There are millions and millions of people that get to live through what's coming, and they get to live in a new world, and they get to learn about one government and one truth finally on earth.
We have this question from Adele. She wants to know, is the beast in Revelation a global body or an animal of sorts?
When they speak of the beast and false prophet, if that's what they're referring to, it is what's referred to as the beast power. It is the seventh resurrection, the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, because it's the Catholic Church. That's what's referred to of as Europa. You know, if you go back, and if people just know what Europa means and where it comes from, some of those things there, this is the seventh time. It's the last revival in history. God said exactly what was going to take place, how many revivals there would be, and this is the last one.
Mm-hmm. This question is from Constance. She wants to know, are Britons part of the throne of David?
Those who are in a part of the royal family, they are Jewish, and they are descendants of King David, yes.
Mm-hmm. What about the, is there such thing as a lost tribe of Israel? If so, who do you think they are?
Yes, there are, and that's why, you know, sometimes on some of the interviews, some people ask me, well, why does everything start with the United States? Why is the United States and Western Europe and Canada and Australia and New Zealand, why are they ones, the first ones that begin to suffer and things happen to them? Mm-hmm. It's because what happened in the Old Testament, the first time the word Jew is mentioned in the Bible, it says the Jews were at war with Israel. Well, how in the world can that be? Because today everybody thinks the Jews that live in the nation of Israel, that that's the Israelites. No, they're not. There were several other peoples, several other nations. There were 10 nations that lived in the north, became known as Israel. After King David and Solomon, the kingdom divided up, and the kingdom to the south remained known as Judah, or the Jewish people today. The northern tribes, the 10 tribes, or 10 nations, were gathered together as one nation called Israel. They were taken captive at two different times. The nation in the north was taken captive by the Assyrians, who are the Germanic peoples today. They were taken captive up into Europe. And what the Assyrians did is they transported people from one region to another when they conquered them. They brought down the people of Samaria. That's why in the time of Christ you find Samaritans. They were living in the area called Israel before. And the Israelites, the actual Israelites, were taken into Europe. We are Israelite. We are one of the nations of Israel, not Jews. They are one tribe. We are another tribe. We are the tribe of Manasseh. Great Britain is a tribe of Ephraim. There are different tribes in Europe. Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they're a part of Israel. We are a part of the descendants of the Old Testament Israelites. They became known as the Lost Ten Tribes because they lost their identity. The Jews never did lose their identity. They were taken into Babylon for 70 years and brought back to Israel, the land of Israel, what we call today. They were brought back to Jerusalem, the area of Jerusalem. And they were able to retain, so everybody today knows who the Jewish people are, but they confuse them as being all the Israelites, and it's not true.
We have this question here, and we address this every now and again on the program, but somebody wants to know, Larry actually wants to know, is the Apostle Paul a false prophet, as some concur?
Well, I've never heard anybody concurring Paul was a false prophet.
Why would people say that? No, I've heard that, you know, and I realize it from some obscure websites where that comes from, but why do people get that idea?
Who knows? I have no idea.
I've tried to figure it out myself. I said, well, you know, it sounds like he's got some good cases there. I don't see where he's...
No, God used Paul in a very powerful way. He was the apostle to the Gentiles.
Well, did he tell people to worship him?
Well, absolutely not.
Well, then I don't know. Maybe somebody needs to tell me why that is.
I have no idea. I've never heard of it.
Don't like people with beard
stuff. Right now it's weird and strange and way out there in left field. I know where it comes from.
Right next to Organi Blaster. Hey, what about this here? What do those crazy Masons have to do with the end time scenario?
basically nothing. there are people who have different societies. There are different peoples who have, you know, there are people who have ideas of a new world order, and there are people who have definite power. I mean, there are societies that come together, and they do exercise a great deal of political and financial power on the earth. There's no doubt about it. The only problem is they, when it really comes down to it, what starts taking place, they have no control over it, what's going to happen, and a lot of these are going to get split up because what happens in Europe, what happens here in the United States and some other areas, they're all going to find themselves on different sides, and then it all comes.
So a lot of these groups could just put on these funny hats, but it ain't really going to help them, is it?
Not going to help too much in the end.
I mean, you know, they got a funny hat going on there. Hey, who do you think is going to be the next president?
I really don't know, and what I've mentioned on other interviews and so forth is that what I am saying right now is that we may, if we have the ability to elect someone, they will never take office. This country will be gone by that time.
Really?
By January of 2009, we will be down the tubes.
You think it was a Freudian slip when Mike Huckabee said about Mitt Romney's Mormon religion, don't they believe Jesus is a brother of Satan? Do you think it was a Freudian slip? Or was he letting everybody know he's the true Christian in the bunch?
I don't know what they think.
But you know he made that statement, though.
Yeah, you know, some people will let me on this one here, but that is a really strange religion. That's all I can say.
The Mormons?
Yeah, because they not only take things that the Catholic Church believes, they've added to it, and they made it worse.
Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote in and said they believe that the feasts were abolished in the New Testament. What's your take on that? Were they?
The feasts were abolished when? In the New Testament?
In the New Testament.
Oh, they haven't read very well. They need to go back and read some of the things that Paul has to say in Corinthians when he says, he's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he explains in chapter 5 and into there all the way up through chapter 10 about keeping Passover, and he mentions very clearly about unleavened bread and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he says, therefore, let us keep the feast. And in the Greek language, that's not a suggestion, that's a command.
Mm-hmm. Lonnie from Pennsylvania wants to know, Ron, when Jesus comes down from the heavens, will it be Christ or God himself?
No, God the Father is remaining on his throne in heaven. Jesus Christ returns.
What
144,000.
Okay, what about that then? Are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, are those real horses?
No, and that's already happened. Those four seals have already been opened, and that's over with.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the end of the sixth seal right now, getting ready for the seventh seal.
What happened the day of the sixth seal opening?
What happened?
Yeah, what marked that day?
Well, if you want to talk about 9/11, it was the beginning of a process that began to take place on this earth. It began to change the attitudes of governments. Look what we did in response to what took place. Look at what happened as a response to that. World sentiment, world feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We are not very loved in the world,
no.
And Europe especially. They are sick and tired of what they see as haughtiness and arrogance of the United States. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly why we're headed to where we are, because the attitudes, who would have ever thought that Russia would go back and be buddy-buddies again with China? And yet that's all prophetic, because in the end, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They unite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that fight against Europe, and that's the primary part of World War III. But again, everything that's taking place in the Middle East, everything that's taking place in Europe, it's all coming together, and it started the sentiment of different nations was swayed mightily on that day.
Would you say that 9/11 marks the day that we, as the United States, entered into a police state?
Oh, I don't believe we're in a police state. People haven't seen a police state yet. They're going to see one for long, but and it won't be because of what we do. They're going to learn what it means to be under the control of another government. But,
All right. Sherry wants to know, is it wrong to wear a cross?
Yes.
Is that a graven image?
Yes. We don't use religious symbols. God condemns religious symbols of any kind to be used for religious worship, religious service, and so forth. You know, if he'd been killed with a guillotine, would they be wearing that around their neck? You know, it's just sick.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, God doesn't want that.
Yeah.
That's not a symbol of, again, it goes back to this thing of people want to feel, seem religious, yet you live religion. You live God's way of life. You don't wear it.
Hmm. Well, I guess that kind of goes to the next question. Do you believe a steeple on a church is pagan?
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
Very much so. Even that has history that goes back even farther into things having to do with Baal worship and the bells and the ringing of bells.
Yeah, people want to know more on that. They need to stay tuned next week. Mike wants to know, are Native Americans possibly part of the Lost Tribes of Israel?
No.
Well, now that's I kind of like that. I kind of like the idea of that, you know.
No, they came. They have other heritage. The ones who came over from Europe, out of England, mm-hmm. they are the nations of the lost nations of Israel.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is from Omar. He wants to know: do you believe that there is a Planet X and it will return?
I don't know.
Let's do an easier question. What is this meteor or planet that's supposed to hit the Earth? Wormwood or whatever?
There's not going to be any planet hit the Earth. God's not going to let the Earth be destroyed. It wouldn't take a very large meteor to destroy the Earth. God's not going to allow that to happen. Are there going to be some bad things that happen toward the end? Will there be some things strike the Earth? Possibly. I don't know. God hasn't revealed that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answers to those
mm-hmm.
things.
All right, Steve, and we'll just keep on going. I'll tell you, there's so many questions here. I know we're not going to get through them. I'll ask a few more here. Steve wants to know, why do we need prophets anyway? Aren't the scriptures clear of what's going to happen?
If they were clear of what's going to happen, I wouldn't have to do what I'm doing. It's not a real pleasant job to be real candid. It's not a pleasant job to be a prophet. It never has been. It's not one you really want to sign up for, to be honest about it. I can understand Jonah in ways that I never understood Jonah before, why he wanted to kind of get away.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't sign up for ridicule or anything else.
That's exactly right. Your question again. I'm sorry.
Well,
I got off on Jonah.
Well, now the question: why do we need prophets?
Oh, because that's God's way. God's way is to warn people before something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever listened,
mm-hmm.
but this time people are starting to listen because that's the whole purpose of going from one age into another. Now, finally, after all the prophets in the Bible. This is going to be the first time that mankind is finally going to begin to listen, and there are going to be millions who begin to listen and change their life and have the opportunity of living into a new age, because this is the time when Jesus Christ is returning and God's going to set up his government, and God wants to deliver millions into that new age. It's just a whole lot of people are going to die before that because of what man does to himself.
I subliminally already asked this question, but now somebody wants to out the question. Kevin wants to know, what do you think of Sherry Schreiner? Have you heard of her?
Don't know her.
Okay. I subliminally asked that question already. I don't know how many people were listening. But maybe after the show.
I don't keep up with a lot of things of people, what they say, what they do.
Maybe after the show. Maybe after the show I'll talk to you privately on that one. Okay. All right. This goes a few more questions. And by the way, do you celebrate Christmas?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So.
Jesus Christ didn't die. I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't born this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a farce that from the very beginning of the child, when people start hearing about this, so fat Santa Claus going around and giving gifts, and they find out that's a lie, they ought to keep questioning because everything else they're told was a lie, too.
Well, think about it. Here's a dude in a suit that loves kids. Come on, man. That got to be from the Catholic Church right there. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? That's exactly where it came from.
So Johnny, what do you want? Get up on my knee, and I'll tell you what. Well, you got to watch out on that one. Hey, what about this? Somebody wants to know, is your church 501c3?
Yes, it is.
Now you know where that's heading. Are you in league with the government, Ron?
No, there's just certain things God's church obeys the laws of whatever country it's in.
Mm-hmm.
We function under the laws of we teach everyone that you're to be faithful, loyal citizens to the government you're under. You're not to resist. You're not to fight against it. You're not to be a bad citizen. We're to live a good way of life. We're to be good to our neighbors. We're to be good. We're to support. We're to help wherever we can. The only difference would come is when there's a conflict with God's law and man's law. Then we choose and have to live by God's law. Thankfully, that doesn't happen very often. As far as how we live our life, we do not teach that people should go out and resist government. So on the contrary, we teach obeying the laws.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what country we live in, if we have people living in Russia, people living in China, Japan, wherever people live, they should be good citizens in their country, not something that's a threat to their government.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we agree with the government. Obviously, we don't.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know if there are specifics, but this writer wants to know what particular Church of God are you from? Are there different sects?
There are tons of Churches of God out here. The majority of them keep Sunday, and they're mm-hmm. not the Church of God.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Church of Satan?
Well, they keep Sunday worship, so, whatever.
Answer that. Yeah. Okay, I got you there. I don't have to go much further with that one. Let's see here. Let me just get a couple more questions, and we'll be coming to the end of it here. By the way, Ron, you said just a minute ago, if people listen, and you said that they probably wouldn't. What if they did listen? What if the listener out there actually listened to you? What would they do tomorrow different than today?
Well, I'll tell you what. Thankfully, There really are a lot of them starting to do that. There are people who are starting to listen. They're starting to change their life. It's not about me. It's about them and God. It's about the relationship with God. And they start changing their life. The things they've been doing wrong, whatever sins they've been committing, they strive to stop doing it. They strive to change their laws to become, you know, to come in their lives in order to come into unity and harmony. That's what people should do. They should start striving to live a good life toward other people.
You know, and I agree with that. Religious or not, they ought to be doing that. But yep. Let me ask you something. It just seems to me, and I try to go down this road a little bit, maybe in the first hour at the beginning, but for someone to hear the deep things of God and the secrets that have been hid from the beginning to be an end-time prophet and witness, you would think your life would be surrounded by supernatural events. But yet you say that they're not. It's pretty sounds like you have a pretty mundane life. You know, you do things that most Americans probably do. You pay your taxes. Your exactly. Church is 501c3. You obey the laws. You write a book. I mean, wouldn't you think that there would be something larger than that?
Well, people like to think of religion like that. They like to think of certain things that happened in times in the past in the Bible, and they like to see those kinds of things, signs to believe. But you know what? The Israelites walked through the Red Sea on dry land, and the waters came back and destroyed Pharaoh's army, and they started griping and complaining as soon as they got the other side. You know, seeing physical things happen, miraculous things happen, doesn't change what people are inside. That's something that's a personal relationship with God that comes in time when God draws people and works with people and gives them help to see and to understand. So, no, people aren't going to listen. People aren't going to believe. That's the way it's always been. But because of what's getting ready to take place here, God's Spirit is beginning to move on the earth in a way it hasn't been over 6,000 years. It never has worked like this. We are coming to a point where He's excited. God's excited because finally He's going to have His Son come. He's waited a long, long time for this. And to have peace brought to mankind. And then in the 100 years that follows the 1,000, everybody who's ever lived gets to see that world as well, mm-hmm. a beautiful, awesome world where God mm-hmm. is ruling.
They might as well take that because it sounds like you're not going to give them any heaven. Hey, Bob, we have this question from Bob. Ron, what about the 7-year peace contract that's supposed to be created in the last 7 years?
Well, I don't know where they heard that one. I don't know what interpretation or what religious group out here is teaching that one. There are all kinds of teachers
I heard
out
that
here.
Somewhere. Some kind of peace contract. Maybe it was Trinity Broadcast. Maybe.
Oh, some of them I think that some things have to happen in Israel. Some things people think have to happen in Europe. Mm-hmm. There are so many numerous teachings out here of things that are false. I can't spend my time going through and trying to study them all. There's so many out here. I just focus on the truth and try to tell people what's the truth, and that's it.
Okay. Chris wants to know, he says, we know where the languages came from. Where did the different skin colors come from?
From the very beginning. It's something that God created mankind to have from the very beginning, and it was by the time you come to Noah, the three wives were the three things that carried through in Noah's family. They had different wives, and the three basic peoples of the earth came through in Noah's family, and they started populating the earth once again.
Mm-hmm.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
I think in the book of Matthew it says, "So in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes." But in the days of Noah, weren't there giants in the land? And if so, are there going to be giants again?
Only when they're resurrected. There's some big people. I mean, look at Goliath. I mean, there were some big people out here. And basically, some of those things, again, there are some really strange ideas that people have in religion of things that happened up to the time of the flood. There are things that different churches teach out here. There are some really weird things the Mormon church teaches out here that happened, and it just didn't happen. Man reads things into the Bible in order to fit his particular doctrinal ideas.
By the way, somebody here's a kind of, sort of a challenging question. They say many of the views you espouse seem to be in line with Jehovah Witnesses. Ron, are you a closet Jehovah Witness? I'm thinking.
No, I don't know. I don't know whether people are just. I'm sorry here, but that one there I get a lot of emails on, and I don't know how ignorant people can be sometimes. All they have to do is just read a little bit of the book, and they'll come to understand very quickly. I guess there must be a lot of people out here who hate Jehovah's Witnesses or something, but they don't know anything about what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. We're not anything remotely alike. They have teachings of the Catholic Church again, and we don't teach anything the Catholic Church teaches.
The only thing I know about them is something about 144,000, and I never have. I don't even know what that is.
Okay, there are different ones. Mormons out here, there are different ones who teach different. You know, just because they teach an aspect of something in the Bible, they say, oh, you're like so-and-so. Well, no, we're not anything alike. Just because they have one particular thing they say something about, and they're wrong about that as well, doesn't make us alike. We are night and day.
So you're not asking our listeners to convert to Jehovah Witnessism?
Oh, yeah, please don't.
Is that a verb, Jehovah Witnessism? Man, I like some of these things I come up with, you know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you, people get upset because they're as much from the Catholic Church as anybody else is out here.
Yeah. And the reason, and by the way, in the first hour, I think I briefly went over the Book of Enoch, but using my own logic, as I said about the shenanigans going on with the Catholic Church and how they foisted or tricked Protestants to do most of the things they do, and I challenge people to show them that, look, if you're doing one thing that they directly ordered you to do and it's evil or wrong based on paganism, then maybe you should look at other things. But I was thinking that if Constantine eliminated the book of, say, just the Book of Enoch, and there may be others, I don't know, I'm not an expert, but wouldn't that make that suspect that you should look into it to see whether it should have been in the canon, because that dude basically started the Catholic Church anyway?
No, because candidly, no matter how bad man has been, which man has been quite bad, God has preserved things we needed to stay. God has the power to see that what he wants brought to this age is here, and we have it. So we have what we need in his word. And that's a matter of faith that God preserves what he wills to the end, and that's another whole subject that we'll take an hour to discuss.
All right, a couple more questions, we'll be done. Paul wants to know, concerning the serpent seed, did Eve sleep with Satan and produce Cain?
Okay, there are such weird ideas out there. No, that's so insane. Sick. What can I say?
Sounds a little bit like bestiality going on there. Snake-ality? What do you think?
Serpent-ality? Demonic world, angelic world, they have no power to reproduce, period.
Wait a minute. Ron, how do you like that? Serpent-ality instead of bestiality? What do you think? Can we go with that one?
They all sound pretty bad to me.
Okay. All right, Ron, we've come to the end of the broadcast. I certainly want to give you some time to say whatever you want to say, your website or book or whatever you'd like to say to the people. We have them on the line here.
Just anybody who wants to go to endtime2008.com can do so. We'll send them a free book, and it's between them and what they read and what they do with it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think you mentioned this earlier, but can we have you back on the program?
If, when April gets here, I'm going to be a busy man. But if I will try.
Okay.
That's all I can say. I will try, but I'm going to be very, very busy.
Okay. Hey, I understand. One of the witnesses, I mean, it seems like you would be busy.
Yep.
I mean, there's a great big old world out there. There's only one of you, and you didn't tell us who the other guy is. So until that guy's revealed, you got to do the work of two.
That's right.
All right, Ron, thanks so much for coming on the program.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate it.